Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Monday. Happy football as well. And naturally, Davis, real exciting games yesterday, especially from an offensive perspective. A lot of the big favorites ended up taking care of business, and naturally we'll go through all the fantasy standouts, which include another win by the Philadelphia Eagles as they're marching on the door of still being undefeated as we head into like Thanksgiving. Kind of crazy. Great year for them.
Yeah, and no one is even testing them. These games are not competitive. The Philadelphia Eagles in the second half of games are 32nd out of 32 teams in passing attempts. They threw one pass in the fourth quarter yesterday. I mean, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith would be, like the Dolphins guys are having these crazy performances. Like every week, it's like Tyreek has like 100 billion yards. The Eagles would be blowing those guys out of the water if their defense was worse and if teams were able to compete with them. Because I literally do not think Jalen Hurts has done one thing wrong this year. I mean, I don't know how if the season ends, he's not your MVP. I think he's been better and more important to his team than Josh Allen even.
Yeah, no, he's having a fantastic year. We'll get to him in the fantasy standouts. Here are our headlines as we begin the show here on the 31st of October. Christian McCaffrey had the trifecta yesterday, first time since LaDainian Tomlinson rushed for a touchdown, caught a touchdown, threw a touchdown, and the 49ers look really good. Maybe he's the difference for them. In the West, the Falcons have reached 500, and they take sole possession of first place in the NFC South. What an incredible story they are. Bill Belichick has passed now George Halas for second all-time in wins, and Michigan State suspends four players after the tunnel incident this weekend. I don't think that's surprising at all. Kind of ugly there in college football. Got a huge college football weekend ahead, by the way, coming up for Tennessee and Georgia. One of those two teams probably in the playoff. The other team may be out. We'll get to that later in the week. But, you know, naturally a lot of, I think, intriguing takeaways yesterday. It's very rare, Davis, that games sort of go the way that you think. This is, I think, only the second time this season that there were more favorites than underdogs that ended up coming through. Normally it's a dog week. But naturally we saw that yesterday. As you mentioned, the Miami Dolphins with a huge comeback. We'll get into their quarterbacks and wide receivers. And, you know, naturally, you know, at this point, maybe one of the fantasy MVPs, I think, has to be Tyreek Hill. Another huge game for him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, the Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are combining for over 55% of the throws in the Miami offense. That is, you know, that's actually more than T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, more than Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, like that wide receiver duo. Mike McDaniel, I mean, I just think it's pretty simple offensive philosophy. Get the ball to your best players. Like, there's no reason to be using Trent Sherfield and Cedric Wilson Jr. when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So, I mean, could really not be more impressed with Mike McDaniel and what he's able to do. Because, like, let's be honest, Tua playing pretty well, you know, was down 14-0, fought back, all that stuff. But, like, you know, let's call a spade. Tua's a good quarterback, but Tua is not Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. He's just not, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can, I think in today's NFL with rushing efficiency, more important than ever, and such a huge discrepancy between good coaches and bad coaches, I think you can win with, you know, let's say the ninth best quarterback or whatever in football. But yeah, just got to give a lot of props to Mike McDaniel. I think he's doing a phenomenal job.
No doubt. Trade deadline, by the way, Dave, is coming up here, and we've already seen some significant moves. We saw over the weekend more possible trade discussion. You know, naturally, the Cleveland Browns play tonight, so we'll get into that. But Kareem Hunt appears to be a player that could or could not be traded. Who knows? A lot of different reports, by the way, on him. Cam Akers of the Rams is another one who hasn't played. We're still waiting for the future there. And then we saw the report on Sunday about Brandon Cooks, how he could be potentially on the move as well. So my feeling is that something else will change in fantasy as we hit the deadline here.
I personally am hoping that it's Kareem Hunt. You know, I hope Kareem Hunt gets moved to one of these spots where a team desperately needs a running back. I would also take, you know, Dearness Johnson, the third string running back for the Cleveland Browns, getting moved. Because remember, that was a saga that we had this offseason. Dearness Johnson wanted to play for a different team and did not want to sign his restricted free agent tender, ended up kind of having to do it due to circumstance. But there are a lot of teams, I think, that could use Kareem Hunt, because as we've seen in the NFL, there's this huge discrepancy between teams who can run against the cover two high safeties. And if you can't run against those two high safeties, then you're going to have to get really creative. I would probably actually, the number one on my wish list to get moved, though, would be Chase Claypool, who did actually have a pretty good game against Eagles, threw a passing touchdown. But I would just love to see, you know, George Pickens and then Deontay Johnson in 30% target share roles, and then Claypool go to somewhere where he's appreciated, right? I think it works out for everyone. Tomlin and Claypool, not big fans of each other. So if I was a GM right now, I would be banging their door down to send a second round pick for Chase Claypool personally.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we will see as the trade deadline approaches. We'll have that covered for you right here, of course, on Fantasy Sports Today. But coming up next, we're going to go over the fantasy standouts from Sunday, of course, including Tua, who we've discussed, and Jalen Hurts as well. So stay on the grid for that. Also, some pretty good running back performances. So hopefully we can get into that as well. And then coming up in just a little bit,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Our buddy Andrew Erickson is going to join us as we preview Monday Night Football. So that's where we're starting off here on the show today on Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Halloween to all. Davis and I will be right back. No costumes for us, just fantasy football content. We'll have it for you. Coming up next, right after these messages, right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. For those of you who did not watch a ton of football yesterday, we're going to go through all the fantasy standouts. You can wake up, look at your fantasy team today, wonder what happened. That's what we're here for. to help you out with that. By the way, again, happy Halloween. Those of you who are out there, hope you are safe. And certainly Davis and I will talk about trick-or-treating a little bit later in the show. For now, let's talk about the treats. Two Attack of Us just punched each other in the mouth for about 2 hours, 3 hours, and that thing went way over the total. Jalen Hurts yesterday, only another 4 touchdowns for Hurts. 285 passing yards, didn't need to do much else. The Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray, okay yesterday, 325, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But honestly, Kirk Cousins played well yesterday for Minnesota. Got to give him credit there. Dak Prescott with his best game, I don't know, in a year, maybe more. 250 passing yards, 34 rushing yards, ran for a touchdown, threw for 2, also threw an interception. And Justin Fields, not bad yesterday. Another decent game for him. I mean, pretty good, actually. 3 touchdowns, 28 yards, 151 passing yards. So more of the same. When Tua is healthy, he's usually on this list. Jalen Hurts, usually on this list. I guess people would be surprised. No Josh Allen this week. Of course, Brady had the bad week. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, what's there left to say about the Packers anymore? Changing of the guard, for sure, in fantasy in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty much all these young athletic guys. And if you have an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or a Kirk Cousins, you're pretty much just begging them to get to 20 fantasy points on any given week. Like, even knowing what I know, watching the Titans, I mean, literally they threw 1 passing attempt in the second half. I would start Malik Willis if he starts again against Kansas City over a Tom Brady, over an Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's just literally no point in starting those guys. They just don't provide anything for fantasy. The name on this list I'm most encouraged by, most interested in, it's got to be Fields. He's added 35 rushing points in his most recent 3 games. And I mean, I don't do a ton of this stuff of like, oh, this guy just looks good. But there's like a light that has switched with Justin Fields, in my opinion. Like the last 3 games, he has looked so different from the guy we saw the first 3 weeks of the season, where he was eating all these sacks and all these passes were not even close, like some bad interceptions. And you know, certainly the coaching staff deserves some credit. I think Fields himself deserves some credit. But any guy who is that good at running, and every time Fields takes off, you're like, oh, he could score. I mean, he gets around that edge, and you're like, if he makes one guy miss, he's basically gone. If he can add, you know, 12, 13 fantasy points per game throwing on top of that rushing, that's a quarterback 1 in fantasy, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what we're seeing right now this season. All right, at running back, a lot of multiple touchdown games from the stars yesterday. So let's go through these as well. Alvin Kamara, good for one of these a year. Yesterday, I guess, was his day to do it. 3 touchdowns from Alvin Kamara. Always once a year, gets you 3. I mean, monster day also with 9 receptions, 96 receiving yards, 62 rushing yards. As well, as we mentioned, Christian McCaffrey was everything for San Francisco and more. Without Debo, he rushed for 94, 8 receptions, 55 yards, 34 pass yards, 3 touchdowns on the day. Amazing. Derrick Henry against Houston, you just put him in the lineup and don't even worry about it because you know he's going to get 200 yards. His numbers against the Texans are outstanding. 219 yesterday, another 2 touchdowns for him. Tony Pollard, fantastic day with Zeke out. Pollard next year, I can imagine how high he's going to get drafted in fantasy. 3 touchdowns yesterday for him. And boy, nobody ever wants Deontay Foreman, Davis. I don't get it. Like, the guy, wherever he goes, whoever he plays for, ends up being pretty good. And he rushed for 3 touchdowns yesterday in that game against Atlanta. And he just, you know, sort of doesn't get any respect whatsoever. He feels like the Carlos Hyde from, like, 3 years ago. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe some team should actually sign this guy and start him as their running back at the beginning of the season.
Well, he will probably end up re-signing with the Carolina Panthers. He's on a 1-year, $4.5 million deal with them. I can't imagine that as part of this rebuild, the Panthers are going to view acquiring a star running back as a big part of that. I would think they're kind of screwing themselves over by winning games this year, because there are some crazy good quarterbacks in this year's draft. Will Levis, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young. But, you know, if they win 7 games, they might be out of range of getting those guys. So we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, clearly they do need a solution at quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, with Chuba Hubbard out, he dominated the early down snap. Still didn't play any third downs. Spencer Brown and Raheem Blackshear were playing on third downs. And, I mean, here's your Tony Pollard stat. Since he got drafted, he started twice. He's got 30-plus fantasy points in both of those starts. And Ezekiel Elliott, since Tony Pollard was drafted 4 seasons ago, has 1 singular 30-plus fantasy point game. I just, it, and after the game, Jerry Jones, of course, just to make us mad, just to make us mad on the internet, says, you know, we go as Zeke goes. It's just at this point, I hope it's a bit. I mean, at this point, I hope they know that that it's just a bit, because it's one of the most infuriating things in football.
Yeah, for sure. But Zeke expected, I think, back next week, so we'll see. All right, let's go over the wide receivers now in fantasy. A.J. Brown is having the season that the Philly asked for and more. Another 6 catches, 156. Only 3 touchdowns yesterday for A.J. Brown. I thought he could have had 5. Unbelievable day for him. Tyreek Hill, speaking of which, smashing every record this season for the Dolphins in wide receiver. 12 receptions, 188 for him. DeAndre Hopkins, great to see him back in a big way. 12 for 159 and a touchdown. Jalen Waddle scored twice, 8 for 106. And DJ Moore with a Hail Mary. Let's also keep in mind here that padded these stats. But, hey, look, great to see him being more involved with PJ Walker. 6 receptions, 152, and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Moore does have an incredible role. You know, even before that Hail Mary, he had 10 targets. You know, one of the few guys in the league who's seeing a target share north of 30%. He is, I mean, really the only wide receiver that can play. You know, Terrace Marshall is in there dropping everything thrown at him, and they did some gadget stuff with Laviska Shenault. But and PJ Walker, by the way, I mean, how many teams starting the year their best quarterback was their quarterback 3? PJ Walker clearly better than Baker Mayfield, clearly better than Sam Darnold. I don't think he's like a multi-year starter or anything, but probably good enough to hold on in the NFL as a backup for quite some time. So I do really appreciate that. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. I mean, what more can we say about these guys? They are both top 12 wide receivers in fantasy football. I think that next season it'll be pretty interesting. Do they both go in the first round? I mean, they're both going to finish as top 15 fantasy players this year. So that's pretty interesting. And then probably the biggest mind blower of the offseason, AJ Brown traded for one singular first round pick. I mean, if we were starting a draft right now of just building NFL franchises, I think it'd be a rock, paper, scissors between Ja'Marr Chase and AJ Brown, who goes first amongst the wide receivers. Well, Justin Jefferson as well. But man, he is just unbelievable out there.
Yeah, no, having a fantastic season, no doubt. All right, let's go to tight end here. Again, a kind of strange week. It's been all season like this in terms of tight end. But, I mean, I have this guy, Tyler Conklin, sitting in a dynasty league. I just don't never play this guy, but, I mean, I'm going to have to start considering it. Maybe I should have considered it already. 6 for 79 and 2 more touchdowns. This guy's having a great year. Isaiah Likely the other night had a touchdown, of course, 6 for 77. Hey, Kyle Pitts involved in the Falcons offense. That was good to see. 5 for 80 and a score. Evan Engram in London scored the first touchdown of the game, 4 for 55. Zach Ertz, 4 for 34 and a touchdown there.
So the Kyle Pitts thing, I mean, we got to lead with that, because it just feels so great to see him involved in a game. You know, it's so frustrating. The Falcons, they spend back-to-back top 10 picks in the NFL draft on pass catchers, and then they're like, all right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to run the ball with Caleb Huntley and Tyler Allgeier, you know, undrafted free agent and a fifth round pick. Just makes no sense from an organizational perspective. So I really hope Pitts is able to build off this, because I just really want him to succeed.
Yeah, and a really good player too. London, interesting year as well. Falcons right now, I mean, we're halfway through the season. Are they going to be adding players at the trade deadline here and going for this thing? I mean, can you count on Tampa Bay digging out of it? I'm not so sure. We'll see. All right, we'll take a break here on the show. Coming up next, Andrew Erickson will join us. We'll go over Monday night. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Monday here on Fantasy Sports Today on this Halloween Monday, too. We got a Monday Night Football game, of course, World Series game as well. Andrew Erickson's going to be out trick-or-treating, of course. He joins us now from Fantasy Pros to preview the Monday Night Football game. Andrew, great to have you back here on the show with Davis and I. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yes, great weekend of football. A lot of fantasy points scored. So we got a treat on Sunday. So hopefully it continues and rolls over into Monday Night Football.
All right. Well, hopefully so. And again, it's going to get real interesting for Cleveland with Deshaun Watson on the way back. A lot of trade rumors involving them as well. And it looks like the Bengals have sort of figured things out, and then they lost their top receiver in Ja'Marr Chase. So I think tonight's slate definitely going to be interesting over on DraftKings. Let's have a look here at the pricing. We've got Joe Burrow tonight as the highest priced player at 17,100. Nick Chubb of the Browns, he's 15,600. Joe Mixon is 14,000. We also have T. Higgins at 12,000 if you want to choose him. Jacoby Brissett, the other quarterback, obviously at 13,800. And then Amari Cooper priced tonight at 11,400. Andrew, all right, so let's talk some strategy here tonight. How would you set things up?
Yeah, I think that many people will try, or the field will try to look at Joe Burrow and try to figure out, okay, no Ja'Marr Chase, so let's fill in with T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Hayden Hurst. Like, these are the guys where the targets are going to go to. Whereas for me, I look at it as an opportunity to look at Joe Mixon, who people just don't like to click the button on for some reason, even though he ranks top. He's third in the NFL in touches entering this week, eighth in carries per game. And we've seen Zach Taylor do it so many times where he just runs the football no matter what in certain situations. So I think that in a matchup against a horrible Browns run defense that's allowing the league's second highest touchdown rate, you put Joe Mixon in the captain spot and he scores two touchdowns, you're getting insane leverage over Joe Burrow and all these other pass catchers, while also playing some of these Browns players like Jacoby Brissett, like an Amari Cooper, who Amari Cooper should lead this entire game in targets. You look at him at home this year, hasn't seen fewer than 10 targets, and he scored at least once in all of his home games this season. So I like the Browns passing game a little bit here and bringing it back with Joe Mixon and hoping that he scores the touchdowns for the Bengals.
Yeah, I think tonight's slate is pretty interesting. I mean, the battle you're having to fight is who wins out the third wide receiver job for the Cincinnati Bengals between Mike Thomas, not that Mike Thomas, the other Mike Thomas. They were both drafted the same year, kind of funny. And Trent Taylor, who has played a lot for them in the past, but is slot only, so they want to play Tyler Boyd outside, yada, yada. And then also, we've gotten rumblings, we've gotten rumors that Kareem Hunt either might be held out tonight or be used a little bit less than normal, so that'll be important to pay attention to. They have a couple different options they can use as that second running back. They could use D'Ernest Johnson. They could use Demetric Felton, who is a combo wide receiver running back, played at UCLA. I think he's really good. I'm kind of surprised he has not seen a larger role on that offense this year, given they've sputtered so much and they just really seem to lack creativity. So I'm curious to see what they end up doing there between Felton and D'Ernest Johnson and Kareem Hunt. I think for our purposes, it would be best for Hunt to just be inactive in this game. And if he's not, it'll be a lot of guesswork. And then Hayden Hurst as well for the Bengals. I think he'll probably see the largest role increase with Ja'Marr Chase out due to this hip injury.
Yep, Tyler Boyd obviously involved very heavily in weeks past also without either Higgins or Chase. Let's take a look at some back or second year quarterbacks here, Andrew, and sort of interesting how the season has progressed. The beginning of the season, everybody very high on Trevor Lawrence, down on Fields, down on Wilson. It seems like things are sort of flipping around. And again, it's only week eight. Who knows what could be by the end of the season? Let's start with Zach Wilson, though, yesterday. That was a pretty big game for the Jets to win and sort of take that leap that people were waiting for. It did not happen. And in the end, Wilson's numbers were good. I mean, he threw for 355 passing yards and also threw two touchdowns. But of course, the glaring issue here is he threw three interceptions. But naturally, I know the Jets are still high on Wilson. You know, wide receiver issues for sure in that room. Some people are not happy. We saw that again after the game yesterday, too. What do you make of Wilson in his second year?
Well, I think that we saw a little bit of a change in this particular game. You know, this was the first game they played without Breece Hall. And we saw when they had Breece Hall healthy, they were really leaning on him to be the engine of the offense. And without him, they let Zach Wilson air the ball out. I mean, he threw for 400 air yards against the Patriots and obviously converted them into 355 passing yards. So it did let guys like Tyler Conklin, like Garrett Wilson get there for fantasy purposes. So it's kind of sprinkling a little bit more what we saw earlier in the year with Joe Flacco under center. So it's good in that perspective. I still can't think you can rely on Wilson as a player you can play. I mean, next week they're playing the Bills and then they have the bye week and then they play the Patriots again. So you're not jamming Wilson into your season long lineups, but it does give some hope to some of their pass catchers. Unfortunately, not Elijah Moore.
Yeah. Elijah Moore ran as their fifth wide receiver in this game, was not targeted behind Denzel Mims and Jeff Smith. Doesn't really make any sense to me for him to be on this team. I would expect that they could recoup a second round pick. I mean, not really. What is really the difference between Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney? Actually, Elijah Moore, more production in the NFL than Kadarius Toney, who really has had one good game in his career that he got thrown out of. And he recouped a third and a sixth round pick for the New York Giants. I mean, why are the Green Bay Packers not calling about Elijah Moore? Why are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not calling about Elijah Moore? I would say I'm pretty much ready to close the book on Zach Wilson. He's just shown nothing to me, to be honest. I mean, he's got the arm. The arm, he could totally make all the throws. You know, I think he could sit on his knees and throw the ball out of the stadium. But he just, I mean, one of the interceptions he threw yesterday was like he was trying to throw the ball away, just making mistakes that an NFL quarterback can't make.
Yeah, hard to survive in the league throwing two, three picks a game. Naturally, the Jets really needed that, I thought, yesterday, but didn't happen. Speaking of needing it yesterday, boy, Andrew, Trevor Lawrence, since opening up the season looking real good with Jacksonville, has sort of gone back a little to the guy that we saw last year. And not a lot of excuses either in that game against the Broncos yesterday. The Broncos showed absolutely nothing on offense for almost the entire game. And Lawrence, he had that connection with Kirk at the beginning of the season. That is no longer there. He threw an interception on that final drive, only 133 passing yards. And again, it's sort of a tasty matchup for him, on paper at least. What's going on here with him?
Yeah, I think that we're just seeing him play some of the tougher defenses. You look at what he's done this year, in eight games he's played, he's been a QB1 in four of them, and he's been outside the top 20 in the other four games. So he's very, matchup dependent. He's no longer someone at the beginning of the year we thought, okay, maybe Lawrence, you can kind of lock him in as your fantasy QB1. You can play him every single week, regardless of matchup. That obviously is no longer the case. But I am optimistic. I mean, they're playing the Raiders in week 9. So that's a very favorable match. We saw them just get boat raced by the New Orleans Saints. So I think Lawrence is in a good bounce back spot here, but not someone that you're going to rely on week to week.
Yeah, I'm worried about Trevor Lawrence. Not even really actually so much the Denver game. I mean, although he was pretty pitiful in that Denver game. I think he was sub 5 YPA. But he gave away that Giants game. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. They were in the driver's seat. They, I think if Kirk Cousins is the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback 15% better at his position, I think the Jaguars would be pretty much in a commanding spot in the AFC South. And it's not to say that I'm writing him off for good. And I'm saying I think he's going to be a 10, 12 year starter in the NFL. But I would say I have moved his range of outcomes from being, potentially the sixth best quarterback in the NFL at some point to much closer to being a guy that you look kind of like Tua, actually, a guy you win with, not win because of. And actually, another thing is he looks pretty good when he runs, looks pretty good when they get him rolling out to his right or rolling out to his left and throwing those back foot throws. And they were doing a lot of that to start the year, didn't see very much of that in the last two games. And I kind of hope that they get back to that pretty soon here.
All right, we'll see how the Jaguars go. Now, of course, the Chicago Bears up against it yesterday, but no doubt we've seen some nice progress here, Andrew, from Justin Fields, who not only rushed for 60 yards yesterday, but also had 3 touchdowns, 151 passing yards. And I know the trust factor for a lot of fantasy owners, I guess in the redraft leagues, is really hard to come by and just stomach, okay, I'm going to play Fields this week. But dynasty owners are with Fields right now are, sort of saying, wow, thank goodness I hung on to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you can't complain about what the rushing production has been since week 3, 63 rushing yards per game. He has 8 carries in all but one game this season. He's been fantasy QB1 every single week since week 5, top 8 guy every week since week 6. So they're finally embracing him in the rushing game, and it reminds me a lot of Jalen Hurts. Like last year when they started okay, we're going to start using this guy a little bit more as a rusher, take advantage of his skills and athleticism, and then eventually you're hoping that the Bears can then make moves and add more pieces around him in the long term. So from a dynasty perspective, you could be looking at Fields. We can talk about Fields next year, how we're looking at Jalen Hurts. Maybe that's a little bit aggressive, but Fields was a first-round pick. And I think that he's still super talented. They just got to add more weapons around him and continue to embrace his rushing upside.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about. I mean, imagine if he was in Zach Wilson's circumstance right now instead of throwing to Dante Pettis and Equanimeous St. Brown and Trevon Wesco and Cole Kmet. If he was throwing to Garrett Wilson and Corey Davis and Elijah Moore, I mean, how much better would he look? I mentioned earlier in the show, 35 fantasy points added with his legs his last three games. I would say Fields probably, of all the quarterbacks who are younger than, let's say, 24, Fields would be the guy I would be trying to buy his stock the most on right
now. Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Now, because he's doing the most with the little and adding the rushing upside.
Very interesting on Fields for sure. All right, Andrew, you enjoy your Halloween tonight, whatever you're up to, and we'll talk again next Monday. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, Andrew Erickson with us, along with Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. We'll take a quick timeout here on the show. Coming up next, it's time for us to reveal our costumes. Or maybe we'll do fantasy reality. One of those two things coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. You can follow us on Twitter, on social media. That's at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. For the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, I don't think you'll be finding a lot of Halloween costumes here at Sports Grid. I don't know. For some reason, we have like a thing here at Sports Grid. We don't like do the whole dress-up thing. We just host and talk sports, which is fine with me because I'm not going to get dressed up anyway. But I guess the question, Davis, for you is that, you know, the clock hits 8 p.m., 7 p.m. tonight. Do you and your significant other heading out in the mean streets of St. Louis looking for candy? Or are you guys just giving out the candy at home tonight?
Not a chance. I'm at that in between age where I'm like too old to like go, you know, party, like, you know, Halloween parties when you're in college, you're 23, you're 24, mm-hmm. like you're still getting dressed up and you're going and hanging out with your buddies. So I'm a little bit too old for that. But also don't have kids yet, so I'm not, you know, walking kids around the neighborhood in their costumes. Yeah, I think we'll probably go to our in-laws and then we'll put a bowl out and leave the porch light on at our house. We're not on like a real busy street, and there are not a ton of kids that live on our block, so gonna be a pretty low key, non exciting night.
Yeah, I think having two kids like myself, 16 and 10, 16 is mildly interested, 10 very interested. So I know what my night is going to look like tonight, including the World Series and including Monday Night Football as well. All right, it's time for some fantasy or reality. Well, needless to say, my pick of the week last week here on Sports Grid was my worst pick of the season by far. Really good season I'm having thus far here, but my gosh, I mean, I took the Raiders, and they looked, that was as bad a loss as you could possibly have. Maybe the worst loss would have been taking the Lions a couple weeks ago when they got shut out, but the Raiders just, like, didn't even show up against New Orleans. That game was 7-0, then 10, then 17. I'm like, wow, I picked the wrong side here, and it was not particularly close. Good thing Davis is hit. Yesterday with New England, I believe, right? On Friday. So that was a good pick.
Yes.
Now, Josh McDaniels came over, speaking of which, from New England to the Las Vegas Raiders. I just thought statistically their season looked a lot better than it had gone. That's all in the crapper now, as the Raiders basically are you know, shooting for that number one or number two pick right now in the NFL. They're just not very good. Fantasy reality, Davis. Josh McDaniels is the main issue. He is the problem with the Raiders this season. Is this fantasy or reality?
Yeah, this is a fantasy. Now, I'm not saying that Josh McDaniels is making the situation better. I'm not saying that another coach would not have improved upon the performance of the Raiders, but it's just, it's a pretty mediocre roster. And I also think it was put together in a pretty ill-advised way. You know, I think the Kansas City Chiefs did what I would have done if I was managing a team, which is, this division is unbelievable. We got the Chargers. We got the Denver Broncos going all in. The Raiders themselves are not bad, but the AFC is just so competitive. The Raiders went the other way. They spent a ton of money in free agency. They traded multiple first round. Like, are the Raiders going to win 51% of their games while Devontae Adams is on their team? I think at this point you would probably take the under. So, I mean, and this is true in every professional sport. Ownership always has a huge impact on the on-field products because of what the owner demands of the GM, what the owner demands of the coach. And I mean, clearly the Raiders probably have one of the worst ownership groups in professional sports. They're always zigging and zagging and making the big splash and then regretting the big splash. I just think, you know, the fish rots from the head down, and the Raiders just kind of seem rotten all the way around. They just seem like a pretty bad football team. So I again, McDaniels not helping, but I would not say he is the problem. So I got fantasy.
Yeah, I have fantasy too. I think that part of it definitely is sort of, you know, taking a rewind here, because I just don't know that the Raiders even know who they want to be. Like, last year, they had a pretty good year and rallied late and almost beat the Bengals. And this was letting Carr just go bananas. And they added to that to go more bananas in Devontae Adams. And I mean, and then all of a sudden now they're a running team with Josh Jacobs. Like, I mean, which is fine, by the way, but they have zero identity. I thought Bisaccia last year, the way that those dudes were talking about him at the end of last season was like, this guy's somebody that they want to play for. Bisaccia, I don't know if he was a good coach or not, Davis, but he just basically turned the offense over to the coordinator and just said, just throw. And now all of a sudden you just don't know what to expect from them. Also, certainly hasn't helped that Darren Waller, who was their best player 2 years ago, has played in half their games. And that was a major, major mistake, I think, signing him to a long-term extension there. Obviously, this guy's having a lot of problems staying healthy the last 2 years. I've learned that the hard way with my fantasy team this year. So I'm going to go fantasy. I don't think it is Josh McDaniels' fault. It's just no identity, not knowing who they want to be this year. I think that's more of the issue. Now, we know who the 49ers want to be. You got to give the 49ers credit. They just are never satisfied with their team. There's always tinkering going on, always trying to improve, do different things. They make these pivots. They tend to work sometimes. Sometimes they don't. And they went out and they got arguably the most talented running back in the NFL in Christian McCaffrey. By the way, another trade they didn't really have to give all that much up for. They just have to pay McCaffrey. And yesterday he paid huge dividends. They went on the road, went to Los Angeles. It looked like a home game, by the way, for the 49ers. And they smashed the Rams. They absolutely smashed them. Now, part of this is the Rams not being as good, clearly. I don't know. You know, they're definitely not going far this year. But you look at the NFC, and I think this is a fair question, fantasy or reality. The San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the NFC, maybe the fifth best in the AFC, but really, like, in the NFC, second best, third best, maybe the best. What do you got?
Yeah, they're not the best. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best. The Philadelphia Eagles are undefeated. They have the best defense by DVOA in the NFL. They are just killing everybody on offense. I mean, these teams, like, have the Eagles even played a competitive game yet? I don't really think they have. I mean, I guess maybe the Lions game, the first game, the Lions game was competitive when kind of no one knew what the Lions were going to be, and St. Brown and Swift are running crazy, but didn't break a sweat against the Vikings, didn't break a sweat against the Commanders. I guess they were down 14-0 to the Jaguars before they came back, and didn't break a sweat against the Cowboys or the Steelers. They are just way better. And what's the big difference between those two teams? The Philadelphia Eagles trust their quarterback completely. They will, you know, it's 3rd and 11. They're just saying, Jalen, go do your thing. What are the 49ers? I mean, what is the entire time that Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, they've had these incredible players. I mean, George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. It's like they're the Death Star. But you know what I think the 49ers are at the end of the day? I thought of this analogy last night. You know, the scene in Indiana Jones where the guy has the sword and he does all the crazy acrobatics and then Indiana Jones just shoots him?
Right.
The 49ers are the guy with the sword. You know, we got Kittle and CMC and Deebo and Ayuk, and we're doing pre-snap motion and zone read. And then a team with a top five quarterback just shoots them. The battle is over. The 49ers don't win those games because their quarterback is not good enough. So I got fantasy.
Yeah, it's a fantasy. I think it's an easier scenario to paint that the 49ers lose in the second round of the playoffs in a shocker than them pulling the shocker off in Philadelphia.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like it. It feels like the 49ers in a regular season game can beat anyone in one game.
Anybody.
But having to win three or four in a row at some point, it's just not going to happen, man.
It's just not going to happen.
Not going to happen. So I have fantasy, but, you know, like
they're really good.
Yeah, they're going to shock someone this year. They're going to be an underdog at some point. I don't know what their schedule is, but give me them on the road going somewhere where they're not supposed to win and they're going to win. And then they lose to the Bears at home. You know, that's just kind of the nature of the 49ers, but not the best. Philadelphia's got to be the best team right now in the NFC, if not the NFL. All right, Powerball. We're back up to a billion in the Powerball here. Now, the last time this happened, I got to say that we went a little nuts here. We definitely went and went to the grocery store, bought a bunch of these. I remember the next morning waking up, hearing somebody won, didn't end up hitting it. But needless to say, it's back again. Davis, you can buy, a billion. You can't even buy a sports team anymore these days. 5 years ago, you could have. But you could buy, you know, maybe an XFL team, something like that. Fantasy reality. You will play Powerball until someone wins $1 billion.
So I'm in general, like not big on these lottery style games. But once it does get in the headlines, you know, once the Mega Millions or the Powerball or whatever, like once you start hearing about it and you're like, oh, it's up to $800 million, it's up to $1 billion. That's when I will generally go out of my way to go and buy a couple tickets. And so you need to clarify this for me. So one, this is a reality. I'm gonna go buy some of these. When is the drawing? When do I need to go buy my Powerball tickets by?
I think tomorrow night or Wednesday. I don't know.
Okay. PM Tuesday, Brett says. So I'm gonna go after I'm done working today, I'm gonna go to the gas station. I'm gonna buy probably $50 of these tickets. And, we're all going to dream on getting rich.
Yeah, we're going to buy the St. Louis XFL team. I think I saw that announcement this morning. Renegades or something? I don't know.
Battlehawks.
Thank you.
I'll be there. I will go to an XFL game.
You will? I was going to say, not shocking that Brett knows all the names of the XFL teams. But, I don't know if I'm going to do it this time. I mean, there's a chance. I'm going to say fantasy for now, because my week is just stacked with things to do, and I gotta consciously go and buy these. And we have a little league game tomorrow, with Halloween tonight, and tutoring, and all kinds of stuff going on. I don't know. And I could have easily done it today. I went to the grocery store this morning after I dropped my kids off. Could have easily done it. Didn't occur to me. So I'm going to say fantasy, but I wouldn't rule it out. I would say that there's definitely a chance of that. Better chance I do go trick-or-treating tonight. I definitely think that would be the case. But, you know, certainly we will see. Before we go to Sports Grid 60, Davis, who do you like tonight? Astros or Phillies? The series is tied at 1. It feels like whoever wins tonight probably wins it.
Yeah, I mean, of course I am along with everyone else, I am rooting for the Philadelphia Phillies. And the line is pretty close. You know, these lines have gotten closer after that surprising game one win. I would say, were I to bet the money line on tonight's game, I would just take the slight dog with the Philadelphia Phillies. I think it's been a pretty entertaining series thus far. It's nice when, you know, kind of everyone is just rooting for the same. Not super enticed about Noah Syndergaard starting a World Series game at this stage in his career. But I mean, I imagine his leash will probably be pretty short. He'll probably go like 3 innings and then they'll work into the bullpen because they had a day off. But yeah, I mean, just crazy for Noah Syndergaard's career to go all the way around, you know, to starting a World Series game. Like no one would have had that on their bingo card at the start of the year.
No, and Philadelphia really has gotten this far with just two starters primarily in this series. But we'll see tonight how far he can go. Houston clearly stacked. Houston easily could have won the first game too. Pivotal game tonight in Philadelphia for sure. Houston wins this one. You got to believe they win the series. If Philly wins, you think they have a great shot too. So be watching that tonight as well. We got to take a quick time out here on the show. Coming up next, it is the Sports Grid 60. Then we're out of here. Early Line is coming up next. I'll be back at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. Warren Sharp will be on the show. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. A reminder, coming up 2 o'clock Eastern, I'm right back here with you on Halloween Eve for another edition of Newswire. But before we go today, let's turn it over to Davis for the Sports Grid 60.
You know, Craig, we are really getting to the time of the year where those Monday night football sweats, they like really matter, where it's like, you know, 8 points here or there can pretty much determine your league. I have a couple spots where it's like, you know, fading 20 points from T. Higgins. And if T. Higgins gets it, then my team is like kind of eliminated. But, you know, the guy I'm playing against. And, you know, this is the stuff that we love about fantasy football. Like, you know, the DFS and the dynasty, like, all it's all great. I mean, we love it all. But like, when I think of like what makes fantasy football such a cool activity that everyone loves, it is kind of, you know, the Michael Vick, the Monday Night Miracle and stuff like that. So just a little mental note to me and everyone else to enjoy the parts of the activity that are not very frustrating and that are quite fun.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything pending tonight, but I will be watching the World Series after some Halloween festivities as well. I did not see any of the NBA yesterday because, of course, football was going on, had a busy day. But I did notice this morning that the Lakers finally won a game. Hey, after 0-5, they're going to head to the month of November with a win. Anthony Davis with a big game for them yesterday. By the way, a win over the Denver Nuggets too. So maybe this is the beginning of a run for the Lakers, or maybe not. They got some tough games coming up too. We will see. But congrats to the Lakers. No longer winless and the worst team in the NBA, or at least for now. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Thanks again to Andrew Erickson for popping on from Fantasy Pros. Thanks, of course, to LTN and our wonderful graphics department. For our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the Halloween night out with your family and friends. We'll be right back here tomorrow at 11 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. See you then.